We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Got men's volleyball head coach Joel Walton. Coach, how are you doing?
Jack, I'm doing really well. We just had a long trip out to the East Coast.
Yeah.
Really our longest trip of the year to travel out to George Mason and play back-to-back days in Fairfax, Virginia. I would complain about so many different things that we're all going through right now, and yet my start in the Ball State men's volleyball program was caravanning all over the Midwest and the eastern part of the United States in two 15-passenger vans. So the fact that we were on a charter sleeper bus with our team this weekend, it's still kind of hard to complain about that. Now, I was having to wear a mask on the bus to try to keep myself and our players all safe. But, still a reasonable trip. And coming out with one win and one loss, I think, is a respectable showing for the Cards.
Yeah, in hindsight, I don't think how you've been was probably the best question, because that we could go for an hour, right? How has this January and, I mean, just the fall, how has life looked in this new age that we're in with you at the helm? And you've been here quite a while. I'm sure this is very different than anything you've ever experienced.
It's just been such a surreal year. When the pandemic was announced and things closed down, I remember, okay, well, we want to hold on to this. We want to at least be able to play some preseason matches, and we want to make sure that we still have a reasonable regular season. And I remember what my goals and my dreams were at that time. And then just blow after blow after blow came. And now I feel great that instead of playing what would normally be a 14 non-conference match part of our season, we're going to play four. And I'm just grateful that we were able to play four. There are teams in our conference that aren't playing any non-conference. I talked with a coach from California today. There are conferences that may only play 10 or 14 matches total this season, and they may not play matches maybe until March. So everything is just, it's so relative. I truly count my blessings every day. I'm grateful that I'm still employed, that Ball State University has still figured out a way to conduct business so that I get to work a job, that I get to collect a paycheck. My kids are both still employed. You know, it's just really, even though we're all challenged in everything that we do on a daily basis, there are still so many blessings in our lives. And I'm choosing choosing to look for those things instead of lamenting all the time at what I don't get to do.
Yeah, no, and this has been a perspective changer, not just for you, not just for me, for millions, billions around the globe. In terms of the 18, 19, 20-year-old guys that you're coaching, this is new, right? And this is different than any volleyball they've played before. Are you noticing almost just that gratitude to be playing right now?
I know that when we got in the gym this fall and we had a training segment, it was something that the guys were really looking forward to. And even though we're coming into the gym and we're playing volleyball in masks, which they've never done before,
yeah,
and they're having to get used to that, they're continually adjusting and pulling them up and down. I'm doing the same thing as I'm trying to coach. Just the fact that we were playing volleyball, just the fact that we got to leave our bunkers that we had all been hunkered down in for a period of time and do something that felt more normal to us, to have an opportunity to compete. I think the guys enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And even having said that, we got to the last week of our fall training segment and we had some players begin to get sick.
Yeah.
And so we lost essentially the last 3 or 4 days that we were able to train before Thanksgiving, and then that led into what normally for us might be a 4 or 5 week break, that this year was about a 7 or 8 week break, because normally we would be back practicing around the first of the year to prepare for matches around the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th of January. And this year our guys really didn't return to Muncie until about the 14th or 15th of January to begin practicing the 15th and 16th. To then be able to play this last weekend. So there are just so many changes. But, you know, in talking with others and looking at the fact that we are getting to play volleyball this year,
yeah,
I'm grateful for that opportunity. Hopefully the vaccines start to work throughout the country and we see fewer people getting sick. We yep. see some of the restrictions lessening, and maybe by the end of the season, who knows, we might even be able to play in an NCAA tournament without wearing masks.
Yeah.
And still consider ourselves to feel safe at that time.
Yeah. This is men's volleyball head coach Joel Walton joining me on Monday night with the Red and White. And all athletes lean on their cardiovascular system. All human beings do. Volleyball in particular is one of those that has an incredibly heavy reliance on your fitness, right? On your ability to just take in an endurance. It's tough when you're stop and go and stop and go, right? And so much of getting game fit, getting match fit, is getting that cardiovascular system back to all systems go. Was that one of the biggest hurdles for you guys?
Yes and no. We're definitely a sport where if there's a long rally, our guys will really start to breathe. The comparison between men's and women's volleyball is that typically there aren't as many long rallies in men's volleyball. Once you get a good set or a good opportunity up in front of one of your attackers,
yeah,
they tend to put the ball away either by making an error or scoring a kill.
Right.
So if we get into a long rally, there are some moments where our guys will be looking at each other or looking at us, kind of going to the side of the court away from their teammates, pulling their mask down a little bit to catch their breath and putting their mask back up and getting back into the fray of things for the next rally. But we do at least have some recovery times. And, you know, one of the things we saw this weekend because of where they're putting balls, they're cleaning balls at the end of the court,
yep,
and then our guys have to walk back and get these balls. That's adding a little bit of time in between rallies. So there is, at this point in time, a little bit more recovery for our guys in between when they're playing and when they're not. And I think we're managing all of that stuff okay. Yep. Our play through the first weekend, there are some things that we were doing offensively that I certainly want to improve, things that we were doing defensively that we've got to address. But having had only 5 days of practice going into those first two matches, I really think our team played relatively well. And we leaned on the fact that we have so many experienced players returning.
Right.
I'm grateful that this is a year where we do have a number of experienced players instead of a year where we're trying to plug in a lot of freshmen and sophomores and then hope that with these first experiences, those guys are going to be able to figure it out.
Yeah. I've got men's volleyball head coach Joel Walton with me. We'll break down the series split at George Mason and then look ahead to Lincoln Memorial and then Purdue-Fort Wayne, four straight home matches, which will be great in the last 15 minutes. But I asked a similar question to James Whitford right before you came, and It had to do with practice. In 2019, if somebody was to show up to one of your guys' practice, and in 2021, if that same person was to show up, of course, a ton of stuff is going to be different. Of course, there's going to be masks on everybody's face. But what else would look different?
What else would look different at our practice? The coaches are all masked. I'm reminding the players when they're calling lines that they need to keep space in between each other, that they're not allowed to congregate. Just trying to keep them safe in case somebody does get sick. Maybe before practice, if it's on Tuesday, they're coming to practice after going out to the football stadium to test to make sure that they don't have COVID. If we're going to have a team meeting or if we're going to do video, we're either going to do that in a room and make sure that there's spacing between our players while we're doing that, or we're going to do it through a Zoom call. If I'm having a leadership meeting with the leaders of my team, I'm going to do that on a Zoom call, even though I want to be in a room with those guys to be able to see all of their expressions, to communicate more clearly. Now we're doing everything we can to minimize exposure to guys that we want to be with. And we're trying to figure out new ways to be with them in a safe way and still accomplish the things that are necessary for our team to move forward.
You feel like that contradicts yourself, but that's what everybody's dealing with, right? I love you, so I'm not seeing you.
Anybody that had that situation over the holidays with their family members. We did everything we could to especially keep our parents who are in that at-risk category safe. And it wasn't because we didn't want to see them. It was because we didn't want to be the reason that we no longer get to see them. Those are all of the new realities that we're going through.
Let's talk George Mason. It was a 5-set opening match loss in Fairfax, Virginia, but you bounced back and went in 4. That resiliency, bouncing from day to day, it's a back-to-back day slate that you're playing for the most part. Just seeing that resiliency, and you mentioned that veteran group of guys, how reassuring was that for you?
Well, it was really important for us. We do have an experienced group, and I knew what our team was capable of, or is capable of. I was disappointed that on the first night we were tied a game apiece. We were actually ahead 20-14 in the third game, and unfortunately we just stopped scoring points and started making a whole bunch of errors, and we ended up losing that third game. In the fourth game, we were down and had to battle our way back, and we did it. And then we got to a fifth game, and we had chances in that fifth game. But the first night, I think being on the road, not being as comfortable as the team, George Mason, who's playing at home, that was hard to overcome. The second night, we went in with about 10 different things that we saw that we wanted our guys to address and try to change. And one of those was serving. We had 23 serving errors the first night on only 5 aces. The second night, we served 7 aces and had only 12 misses, and that was a big part of it. We changed our libero, and I think Colin Ensilaco came in and passed more consistently than Nick Levanti was able to do the first night. And the George Mason coach actually came up to me and said after the match, "Listen, are we that bad a serving team, or did you guys just pass a whole lot better tonight?" And I think that the second time around, we passed a lot better. We were aided, and I hate to say this, but we were aided by the virus. One of George Mason's starters, a starting right side, didn't play because he was on COVID protocols. He wasn't sick, but he had been traced. And then we were also aided the second night. Greenslade, for them, one of their outside attackers who had some of the highest numbers for their team the first night, wasn't able to play. He had done something to his ankle, and I think early in the season they didn't want to push him too hard, so he took the second night off. Both of those things played in, and I was just glad to see our team play better the second night and take advantage of the opportunity to beat a ranked team on the road, because that's not easy to do.
How many hours of sleep did you get and you think your players got in between match one and match two? Because that's a whole new animal. And, you know, I know coaches are wired to not necessarily overanalyze, just analyze until there's nothing left to analyze, an exhaustive analysis of what just happened. And you've got to turn something around and beat that same team in less than 24 hours. How did that go for you?
Probably something else that helped us on the weekend. We keep talking about playing those nights. We actually played at noon both days. And so the fact that we played at noon, We had more time to wind down following the match before we were actually getting ready to go to sleep. I know that helped me. I had some time in the afternoon to process, to think about what we wanted to do the next day, and then I could put it in its proper place. So I actually slept okay that night. But had it been a normal night where we play at 7 o'clock,
right,
and you get off the court around 10, and then you're trying to get some food in, and now it's 11 or 12 or 1 or 2
right,
before you finally get to sleep, it might have been a bit harder on us. But even though the next day we had to be back in the gym by 10 to be ready to play at noon again, I think the timing that we had there actually helped.
Do you feel like the recovery is going to be tough with these back-to-backs?
Well, really up until the last two or three years, we've almost always played Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
We've been trying to, as a conference, spread things out to play Thursday, Saturday, so that our players do have a chance to recover, and it's not necessarily the team that is either the most fit or the team that is the deepest that is winning more conference matches, but it's truly the team that has the best group of players, so that you have that recovery time in between matches. So, yes, it's different than what we've been trying to do the last couple of years, but even with that, we've been trying to spread it out in conference, but non-conference weekends we have typically still played Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
In January and February. So it's not going to be that different for our guys, and it's also going to be fair because everybody else is doing the exact same thing that we are. The guys across the net are likely going to be just as tired as our guys are because they just played that same time yesterday as well.
Blake Reardon was unbelievable.
Yeah.
In match two, had 25 kills in the four set win for you guys at George Mason. Blake being a vet and Blake being as dominant as he was, what other guys really show their improvement and their almost your chance to get to the level that you guys want to be at?
Well, Blake played a great weekend. He put two nights together where he led our team, actually led both teams in kills and points. And that's really the kind of player that he's been capable of being his entire career. We're fortunate that both Blake Reardon and Nick Levanci took advantage of the opportunity to come back for another season, because they're both guys that took that option, and we get now an experienced libero and an experienced outside attacker to add to what was already going to be a pretty strong group this year. I've been really pleased with the progress Quinn Isaacson has made, and even from the standpoint of just maturity, the fact that he has come to realize he's always training, but he's realized that training at his mom's facility on a sports court on concrete the last two seasons has impacted his knees and how he's felt as we began the season. So this year he was still doing physical training, but he tried to minimize his time in that facility so that his knees wouldn't be as sore as we started out the season.
Wow.
And he was really good this last weekend, two nights in a row, back to back. Quinn's serve, he's got to be one of our guys that was leading in aces. He put a ton of pressure on our opponents. There were a lot of balls that he served where they would go out of system, and then we had a much better job setting up our blocking defense and our back row defense to score points. So I was pleased with the job Quinn did. Colin Ensilaco has been a part-time starter for us at libero.
Yeah.
And he played well, and not that Nick Levanci didn't play well on night one. Nick did. There are just so many different pieces. We've got three middles right now that all played a significant amount of time this weekend. And I don't think our middles performed at the level that we need them to perform at. But we've got three guys that all started for us last year: Will McPhillips, Will Hippie, and Felix Egerevba.
Yeah.
And I just know that as we get into a better training rhythm, their play is going to continue to improve.
Ball State men's volleyball next in action at Worthen. Home cooking twice this coming Thursday, Friday against Lincoln Memorial, and then the next Friday, Saturday, they're hosting Purdue Fort Wayne. And Coach Joe Walton, before I let you go, I do want to mention the passing of Chris Bierman, who is one of the all-time greats, not just at Ball State, but in men's college volleyball. You played with him. He was an assistant under you for a year. Any stories that you want to share about Chris?
Anybody who knows Chris Bierman has a story. He's just that type of a person. Whether it's I played with Chris for 2 years. I was a junior and a senior when he was on the team as a freshman and a sophomore. And Chris intimidated me. He was that kind of a competitor. I mean, even though he was an underclassman, I just knew that if I was on his team, we better win, or else he was going to make me pay for it afterwards. He was going to say something to me or do something to me because losing just wasn't going to be tolerated.
Right.
And I really appreciated that about Chris. I know our team was better because it mattered to him so much. I mean, I'm a competitor myself.
Yeah.
But multiply me times two or three, and you get Chris Bierman. That's just right. Who he was. There are some great moments. And Chris, because he was so competitive, there were times where it boiled over. There were other times where just his matter-of-fact statements would blow you away. I was playing in a tournament that they used to hold in the summertime where they would bring 48 of the best college volleyball players together in the Olympic Festival.
Yeah.
And Chris and I were playing in a year, and we were actually being coached by Al Skates, the UCLA head coach. And we had gotten through the pool play. We had lost, I think, two or three consecutive matches, and Coach Skates looks at the team and goes, "Can any of you guys pass?" And Bierman, just out of the blue, goes, "Walton's the best passer in the Midwest."
How about that?
And so all of a sudden now Coach Skates puts me in as an outside attacker. I'd been playing up to that time as a setter. We start winning matches, and that's just who Bierman was. If he saw something that he felt strongly about, he wasn't going to hold his tongue. He was going to speak his mind. And I've talked with a number of people that tell really similar stories about his competitiveness, but also about how passionate he was about things, and how intelligent he was. He's just a great person to be around. And we've lost not only a friend, a teammate, a leader, just somebody that has done really incredible things for volleyball. I'll tell you one more story, and then there's a little bit of an angle in this story. Chris Bierman a few years ago was asked to become a member of the Ball State Athletic Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And he said, I won't go in until my dad goes in.
Wow.
And Tom Bierman was one of the founding members of the Ball State men's volleyball program and played and was actually an all MIVA. He was the most valuable player one of the years that he played, but he played before Ball State recognized the men's volleyball program as a varsity.
Wow.
And because of that, we've been told that it's either impossible or Tom will never be inducted into the Ball State Athletic Hall of Fame. Now, he's been inducted into the MIVA Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's just kind of another point as to who Chris Bierman was. He was a very principled, he held his beliefs strongly and was very passionate about them to the point that he would say, "I don't want to be in the Ball State Athletic Hall of Fame until my father goes in."
Wow.
Now, that's just the kind of person that he is.
The Ball State community, the volleyball community, lost a very good one in Chris Bierman and Coach Joel Walton. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Jack, I've enjoyed it. You get me talking about volleyball, I could go forever.
Yeah.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.